Except on mine.
Good morning. I'd like to call the June 14, 2012 City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement meeting to order, please. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Here.
Oh, she called me and she said that she had been in the hospital with her sister all night. So she, depending on how fast we get done, she'll try to come in. If not,
she's not here. Let's go ahead and
I'd like to ask for a motion to excuse Ms. Himes.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Have all members of the board had the opportunity? Yes. Okay. Getting ahead of myself.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Brown is not here.
I'd like to also ask for a motion to excuse Mr. Brown.
So moved.
Second.
Excuse absence?
Yes. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Yes. Have all members of the board had the opportunity to review the minutes? Are there any corrections or amendments? Chair would entertain a motion to approve the minutes for the May 10, 2012 meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Smart. Neil?
Second.
Okay. We have a motion and second. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Does any member of the board have any, would like to disclose any ex parte communication with any party to any?
I don't have ex parte communication, but there's case number 3900 Wild Olive that I drive by every single day. Okay. Because it's on my way.
Yeah, the couple of board members have mentioned that to me, and merely driving by the location is not ex parte communication. Okay. If you stop and do an investigation, yes. But if you just drive by, no.
Okay. Are there any announcements?
We do have one case that's in compliance with the agenda. Actually, I think we may have two. I have one in front of me. It's case number 2. It's in compliance as of June 13th, 2012. And Katie, I think you have one that's in compliance that doesn't have such a... 21,
1161 Cordova. What is the date? 6-8. June 8th. Thank you. Are there any additional announcements? Okay, we'd like to proceed with our agenda. And we'll begin with the lien review, which is case number CEB 071198. Oh, yes. Yeah. Sorry.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony about to provide is the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thanks, Amy. I'd like to ask that all parties who will be testifying, when you come forward, please speak into the microphone at the podium. The meeting is being recorded, and... so that we may have an accurate record, we're asking that you speak into the microphone. In addition to that, I'd like to ask that all persons who are in the audience to make sure your cell phones are either on the silent or vibrate mode. Okay. We'll proceed with our agenda, beginning with case number CEB 071198, which is a lien review. Property is located at 1401 South Nova Road, ATC Realty 1 LLC.
My name is Karen Padgett. I'm with Stiles Property Management. We are the local management company for ATC Realty out of California.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Well, Ms. Padgett, let us hear from Mr. Garcia first, who represents the city.
Okay.
Morning, Board.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Property in question is 1401 South Noble Road. This case began back in March of 2011. They were notified of several violations on the property. It was brought before the board. A fine was imposed. The lien was recorded, and no contact was made. I believe about a month and a half ago, the property was brought. Complaint was made based on the fencing that was there. I had an officer go out, sighted the property. Stiles Investment then notified Officer Fitzgerald along with Officer Garcia and made contact. They did correct the fence, and now they're asking for a lien review. The order to impose the fine was back in August 11th of 2011. It's 298 days times $100, which brings the amount to $29,800. That's owed. We're taking a position of that the property owners were aware of the fact, made no attempt to make the corrections. You know, it took a second violation to be brought up on the property to bring the violation, this particular violation, into compliance. There's still some outstanding code violations, and we stand by the fine amount.
Ms. Padgett.
Okay, part of the delay was due to the fact that when the code violation was sent to ownership in California, they neglected to notify us as the local managers. So there was quite a time span there when we locally were not aware. When I say locally, we are out of Orlando. We were not aware of the code violations. So I guess Penny Ford, who is actually the property manager, is unavailable this week due to a family illness. So I am sort of minimally, familiar with this. But from what she has told me and the lien review request description of hardship that was filed, does outline the fact that there was a delay in by ownership and notifying us as the management company of the needed repairs. And then I guess it took a while for Ms. Ford to find the proper materials to make the corrections, but you said there's still some outstanding. I was under the impression that the ones that were cited in this code violations have been repaired.
Well, the fence was repaired. There are some additional code violations that the property has been cited for. And as I stated, we notified the property management company as well as the property owners about a month and a half ago, correct?
Yes. But I thought from what Penny said that those had been taken care of. No? Now, somebody met with her on the property last week. Was that you?
That was me.
No? Oh, that was you.
That was Officer Fitzgerald.
Oh, okay.
Jeff, come on the mic if you're going to say something.
So what is still outstanding?
Hold on, Ms. Padgett. Let me ask you a question. Maybe we can get some clarification. Mr. Garcia, the new violations that you're referring to, are they related to this particular case at all?
I'm sorry, sir?
I believe you stated there are other violations. Is that correct? Are they related to this particular case? Okay.
If I can clarify for a minute.
Sure.
Well, just with the new violations, what's missing is some of the paint, but it's been raining for 2 weeks, so they asked for a extension.
Okay, well, we won't deal with those. We're only going to discuss this particular case.
This particular case is the case when I had the area of these photos here showing the ones that were damaged. Mm-hmm. These particular fences were now just recently came in compliance.
Okay.
But prior to this, or not prior to this, but right after this, there have been other fences that have been damaged, but it's been after I've been removed from that area and put in another area. So that's the clarification. There's still issues out there,
mm-hmm.
but the fences that I cited her for Those ones were just recently put in compliance.
Okay.
And so that's...
Well, it's certainly our intention ongoing to take care of these things, but that fence is problematic. We've got some trees on the other side of the property line that are causing damage to the fence, and I think the most recent one that you all are talking about is one that a tree fell over and caused additional damage. So we have, and again, it's the property owner on the other side. It's their tree that fell through the fence on our property. So we have asked them to remove that, which they have not yet done.
Okay. What we're going to do, Ms. Padgett, is only discuss this matter.
Right. Understand that. But he had brought the fact up that there's still some outstanding.
And that's why I asked the question, just for clarification, so we could be on the same page and know that we're only going to discuss the matter involving this particular case. Can you tell us why it took you 298 days to bring the property into compliance? And I know there were some communication issues.
Right.
But that's almost a full year.
The description of the hardship thing is outlines, again, I'm not that familiar with it, not being the direct property manager on it. And it said it looks like there was some time before we got notification. Somewhere in here it states the number of days. Does everybody have this?
Yes.
Okay. Somewhere in here it states the number of days before we were notified. And then I guess it just took a while for Ms. Ford to find the right materials, because we had asked, according to this, if we could substitute materials, and we never received a response on that. And then, failing to receive a response, she went forward and found somebody who could recreate these concrete panels.
When you say that you ask if you could substitute the materials, are you referring to the ownership company, or are you referring to someone from the city of Daytona?
Colleen Miles. They Penny Ford called Colleen Miles and asked her, and I guess she didn't return an email.
Do you remember when that communication may have occurred, Penny?
It was within, within 2 months, a month and a half.
2 months ago?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I have some questions. Would
sure.
the fine go to ACT Realty or whatever it's
ATC.
Called?
ATC.
Yeah,
yes. ATC.
And not to Stiles, is that correct?
Whoever the ownership
whoever
company
owns
is
it.
Would get the, or the registered
okay.
agent.
Who owned, did ATC own the building at the time of the first violation?
You know, I don't know that, because it went into foreclosure for a period of time, and I don't know if it was in that foreclosure period. I'd have to go back and research that.
Is that in this information?
No, I don't think it
Correct.
Is. I do not see anything in here to that.
All right, and the other question that I have, were you managing it at the time of violation?
Yes.
And did you not notice or inspect the property at any time to see that there was a violation? I can see from these pictures that were taken and the pictures up there that there were violations that could be seen. That
well, I think some of those...
That there were maintenance issues, let's
right.
put it that way.
Well, I know that some of them were taken care of before a violation occurred, but then I really not being the direct property manager, I can't answer that question.
Okay.
Just in response to your initial question, the notice of violation cites ATC,
okay.
which, and that was dated June 15, 2011.
Okay. Correct. I was going to say that. In
okay. I, to the best of my recollection, I believe it was out of foreclosure at that point in time, and ATC was the
okay.
owner.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have any additional questions?
I noticed that enclosed with the packet was the former, or a copy of the former resolution creating the amnesty program. We're not obligated under this at this point. It's just in here for information.
It's in there because of the maximum fine amount.
That's still in?
The maximum fine amount is still in effect.
Oh,
not
okay.
the amnesty
Not the end. Okay, well, that's important. So the maximum fine on this, is this a multifamily? What is this, what is this considered? A
shopping center.
This is commercial? So that would be considered 25,000 maximum? No. Which, am I reading this wrong or what?
It came into compliance before it reached the maximum. The maximum, I believe, that was on the order, and I'm not right.
Okay,
I think it was 85,000.
Wow, I don't have this on this list then.
Once it gets to a certain value, then it goes up by 5,000.
Okay.
The maximum fine amount. So anything over 1.5
right.
Yes. All right. That's what I'm trying to. So this is the fine we're dealing with is almost 30,000 here.
Correct. So that means it came into compliance before it reaches maximum.
Okay.
Yes. If you had a cell phone on the left hand side, it's across from the office depot. It's where the Dixie used to be. Yes.
Okay.
Do you have any additional comments, Ms. Padgett?
I do. Going forward, since some of these problems and issues are caused by the trees that are on the other side of the fence and therefore not on our property, you know, if we can't get these homeowners to do something with their trees and they continue to damage our property, like one of them, the fence is humping up because the tree roots are, you know, growing up. How do we address that? So we have to sue them individually? Okay. Good to know. But the board can't do anything to assist in that. Okay. Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion.
Yes.
That we go with the recommendation of staff and pursue this lien amount in the amount of $29,800.
Okay, before we proceed, can I just ask either Ms. Hampton or Mr. Garcia a question regarding the amount, Ms. Kundig?
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at an amount. It's an invoice that states, well, indicates the total due is actually $29,848.99. That includes interest. Is that the amount that we're actually have in place? It's the invoice.
Mm-hmm. I see.
$29,848.99. Okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
That's the interest.
Okay, right. Would you like to amend your motion?
Yes, I'd like to amend my motion for the amount to be $29,848.99.
We have a motion by Ms. Kundik. Is there a second?
I second.
Second by Mr. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Wait
aye.
A minute. I'd like to say something.
Sorry.
I can understand the amount referenced in the motion. However, I feel that once the property owner notified the management company took appropriate action and did everything in its power to bring the property into compliance, then my feeling, and a very strong feeling, is that the fine, even at the maximum, should cease once the management company came into the picture and took their actions. I think we're adding penalty on top of penalty. I don't think that's fair.
Doesn't the fine stop at the stop, not end? It's not until in compliance?
No.
If the property is brought into compliance, the fine stops. After David of compliance is done, it's given to the legal department and then it stops.
Yeah, but we're not here to penalize. The owner did contact finally and that's their problem. They did finally contact their management company, and I think the moment the management company became aware and started to take affirmative action, I think the penalty phase at that point should cease. I don't think 29,000 plus is a... I just think that's penalizing unnecessarily.
Mr. Jackson.
And I don't really like to invade in your discussion, but say this one thing. I think one of the things that you may want to keep in mind is that the sanction itself is against the owner of the property. And the owner of the property is the one that should have taken action and eventually took action, which is common with many owners. Eventually they do take action, and then it finally comes to compliance. And this whole time period is a time period that's affecting a failure of the owner to act, not the management company. The management company acted, and that's great, but the owner had to get moved on forward to act, and they're the ones that now dealing with the sanctions.
Well, the management company, the owner had no choice except to ask someone else, its management company, to do it for it. And once they did contact the management company, I think that at that point, when appropriate action was taken, I think the penalty should cease. I don't think 29,000 is a fair estimate.
Ms. Kondik.
Mr. Chair, I believe that the company, it is not this company that is being fined, it's the owner that's being fined, and they were negligent in doing anything about it for, I don't know how long. How long was it?
298 days
before it came into compliance.
This was
whether or not they're not there, it doesn't matter. They own the property, and I think that they have some sort of responsibility to
Danny.
Fix it.
Mr. Smart?
Looking through the history here, I see back in, July 14th, this is brought before us, and the respondent was not present.
We didn't, at that point in time, we were not aware of this issue at all.
And then on August 11th, respondent not present. It seems like if the owner was notified, was concerned about this, they would either be here or send a representative.
Well, we're their representative, but they're a big entity. They're out in California, so something obviously fell through the cracks out in California for them not to notify us.
They had two opportunities to have someone here to represent them.
And Stiles certainly would have been here had we been aware of it.
And bear in mind, Ms. Padgett, we're not saying that the management company had a problem, or it's there, as Mr. Jackson indicated, there's some negligence on the part of the ownership, and that they didn't notify you all of the problem or the issue so that you all could address it on their behalf. I do see a signature that on a, certified mail card of 6/22/11, Kara Stover. And, this was sent to Tallahassee, though. Is that the correct case? It says Corporation Service Company?
Oh, that's the registered whatever.
Registered agent.
Right. Well, and maybe something fell through the cracks there if they didn't notify ownership out in California.
Do you have a copy of that, Ms. Forens?
Yes. Unless it's in the lead review.
It is.
I know not necessarily opening up the testimony, but if the inspector or the test car further would say that this was not the first time that we had had a case with these individuals from the perspective of knowledge.
Okay.
They came in compliance prior to bringing it to the code board, but I did have a case before with the same violations, the fence, same complaints. They wound up having to order the material also from a different company, and I don't know whether they got it, but I have pictures previous, the guys actually doing the work.
Was there a failure of communication in that case as well?
Actually, I was communicating with someone else. It wasn't any board. They took care of it. It took a little while, but they didn't take care of it.
Okay.
I just requested that
it was something that needed to be maintained because the what it was made out of, and that others were, could, you know, be damaged in the future.
Just the question I think that might help Ms. Padgett and the ownership, is there any chance that they can substitute materials in the future?
The planning board said that she was getting it from somewhere in California.
Oh, you mean the substitute material?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm just curious.
That's something for Colin Miles that she would have to recommend.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I think we would have to have your approval on that before, you know.
Okay. Again, they've been notified prior to property owner
itself. I was just thinking going forward, just in case there's another similar problem, I think I was hoping there would be a way that we can assist them in rectifying the problem or bringing the properties to
now. Yeah. I mean, now that we've found somebody who can supply these panels, okay, then that makes it easier.
Okay. Ms. Kundick? And we do have a motion on the floor. Yeah. Motion and second.
I'd like to address this one more time. I have no question that the owner was derelict from the date of the imposition of the fine until such time as the property management, as their property management agency became aware. My point is that from the date that the property management people took strenuous efforts, I think the penalty phase should be abated. You've got, we're fining them for 298 days until June the 4th this month. And I don't think that's fair. They've worked very hard to address the matter and to bring it into compliance. And to keep the fine running that long, it just doesn't, it's not fair.
Keeping in mind we do have a motion and second on the floor, I'd just like to ask a question of you, Ms. Padgett, and then we'll give it to Ms. Kundick for maybe an amendment to her motion. It just depends on her and Mr. Smart. When were you all notified, Ms. Padgett, as to the problem?
According to this, which Penny, Ms. Ford, compiled, it said that we were unaware of the first 85 days of this 298-day time period. So that would be, what, 243 days, if my math is right?
How many days did you say you were not?
85 days we were not aware.
85, so it would be 213?
She's listed November 4th,
213.
After being notified and being made aware of the problem, Ms. Padgett, why did it take you all still that long to bring the property into compliance?
Not being the direct manager, I don't have a good answer for that, other than, you know, as it's been cited in this thing, it took her a while to, A, you know, find out if we could use substitute materials, and then with no response, then we, you know, went forward and to try to search for somebody who could provide the exact materials. And then they had to be fabricated, because they don't have these things on the Home Depot shelves, so they had to be fabricated and shipped to us, and then we had to get them installed.
Check my math. 213 times 100 would be 21,300. Is that a correct calculation?
But how many days that they had?
I know. I'm just curious.
Right. Yes.
Is that something you would you were considering, Mr. Borns? And Ms. Kunick has the motion, of course.
Yeah.
What you're saying is that the owner trusted you to carry out this responsibility.
Once we were notified, yeah,
once
correct.
You were notified, it took 221 days to get some slats to stick in the fence, and it's going to cost them $21,000 on top of whatever the repairs? I mean, that's what you're saying, and I just don't think that's a very, very good response on the part of management, a property manager, to a problem.
You know, I continue to have a problem discussing this because this management company is not the one that's being fined. It is the owners of the property who were negligent, and there is no one here from that company that we can talk to that has knowledge of why they decided it wasn't important to them to get the management company to act.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you. That's what my question is.
I'd like to
why
move
hire
forward
a management
with
company
the motion.
It's not going to get you out of the problem.
Right.
Mr. Kulnick, before we do that, can I ask that you consider maybe amending your motion and maybe fining them for 213 days? It's your motion. So.
I would prefer not to do that.
Okay. Mr. Warner, make an amendment.
No, I can only affirm that I think this is it's quite unreasonable. I think the for the period of time that the owner failed to contact the management company, they should be held responsible. But up until that point, from that point on, the management company took every effort that they could to bring this property into compliance.
Well, Mr. Bourne,
we're not here to penalize people. We're here to bring them into compliance.
I agree with that part of it, but I don't think that a corporation would expect a somebody they hired to do a job because they're under under a legal obligation to wait 213 days. I mean, we could still be doing this if they hadn't come in compliance. We could still be sitting there. They finally did, but when is enough enough for a corporation? What is their responsibility about asking their agents to fulfill their job? I mean, I just can't believe it would take 213 days to get that fence repaired.
No, Mr. Harrington, I think the issue is that the management company wasn't notified for 213 days of those 298.
I thought it was 85 days.
85, yeah, 85. That's my understanding, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if I had hired somebody and I had a piece of property and I had a court document, I just wouldn't ignore it and expect that I was not responsible. And maybe they didn't.
Mr. Harrington, what Mrs. Stevens was just trying to verify, just so that I don't want the record to be confused. There's 200, they're saying that for 213 days the management company did not know. And so it took the management company
No, the other way around. 85 days we didn't
85
know.
85 days they did not know.
You're right, not fine. I guess you're right, too. I got you.
Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Kulnick. Were you done, Mr. Harrington?
Wow.
I just want to make the point with Mr. Bourne's. I think when you hire somebody to do a job and you're under court order, if you didn't have a court order, that's a whole different thing. You have a court order saying you must come into compliance. So you've turned this over to somebody. You better be on the ball to see that they're doing it. And I don't think they did due diligence with you people because I would have been all over you. But that's
well. I wasn't the property manager, so I'm not taking this personal. So
and we're not saying that you're responsible, Ms. Pat.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm ready to vote.
Okay. We have a motion by Ms. Kulnick, second by Mr. Smart. Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board?
This would be a motion to deny the
relief.
Okay. All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Same sign. Aye.
Aye.
Still carries, right?
3-2.
Okay.
No, it doesn't.
No?
You need
majority.
Four,
right.
Four,
okay.
Yeah.
That motion fails. Mr. Bourne's, would you like to make a motion? Any member of the board like to make another motion?
Failing, have we...
The one that you requested before?
The 21,000?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Based on this probably will help. And Mr. Stevens made a recommendation, the fine to be imposed instead of for 285 days, I think it is.
298.
298. Bring it down to 213.
Okay.
Hold the company responsible for the 213 days that it took to get notification to the property management and get the violation corrected.
Okay.
Which would reduce the fine to 21,300.
payable within 30 days or reverse back to the original
amount? To the original amount, correct.
Plus interest?
Yes.
I'll amend my motion.
Well, actually, it's a new motion.
Oh, our new motion now. It's a new motion because the other one failed. Fine. Go ahead, Mr. Bourne.
Why don't you just go ahead and amend your motion?
I can't. I can't amend it because it's my motion,
failed. Oh, okay. Motion.
Yes. So we have to make a new motion. If you'd like to do that, I'll defer to you.
I can make it. I can suggest the motion.
Okay.
Or you can make it. Go ahead, Mr. Bourne.
You go ahead, please.
Chair would entertain a motion. Fine, imposing a fine of $213,000 against the...
$21,000.
Big difference, isn't it? Chair would entertain a motion reducing the original fine amount to $21,300 payable within 30 days, or the fine amount reverts to the original amount of $29,843.84899. And requiring the property owner, well, it is in compliance. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. We have a motion by Mrs. Kundick, second by Mr. Harrington. Are there questions or comments by members of the board?
Yes. Would you add to that the interest, the accrued interest on the $21,000?
I think they made it just $21,300.
$21,300, and it reverts back to the original amount of $29,848.99 if it's not paid within 30 days.
Okay.
With the interest?
Plus interest accruing, yes. Are there any additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Ms. Padgett, we have reduced the fine amount to $21,300. It is payable within 30 days, or it will revert back to the original amount of $29,848.99 with interest accruing.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you all for your time.
We're going to go out of order just briefly and take case number. Well, first of all, for the record, let me just read into the record case number 21, which is CEB 061259, which is in compliance, as indicated previously, on 6-8-2012. Next case is case number 22, which is case number CEB 061260, Stephen L. Endeavor A. Raption. Property is located at 948 Pelican Bay Drive. Mr. Respondent here.
Yes.
Okay. And before we move forward, I'd just like to acknowledge one of our most illustrious city council persons, Ms. Edith Shelley. Hi, Edith. I'll give you the address for the check later.
You're so smooth, Larry.
Good morning, Vicki.
Steve Rathchen. Steve Rathchen.
Raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Good morning, Mr. Rathchen.
Good morning.
Before you speak, let us hear from the inspector first, if you don't mind.
My name is Officer Vicki Langford. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CE2012-1039, City of Daytona Beach versus Stephen L. and Deborah A. Rathchen. Property address is 948 Pelican Bay Drive. Parcel ID is 5236-09001130. The violations we're looking at today are damaged cement driveway, no house numbers, a balcony in disrepair with hazardous conditions, damaged plumbing fixtures, and damaged electrical systems with hazardous conditions, also materials stored on the outside of the house, outside storage. The statutory requirements for notification for this hearing have been met by the notice being posted at the property and at City Hall 10 days prior to this hearing and at original notice, In addition, copies of the notice were mailed by first-class mail to the property owner. All of the items for this case, as well as the photographs, have been labeled as Exhibits A through FF, and the originals have been submitted to the clerk as evidence. Copies of the photographs and other pertinent evidence are being supplied to each board member for their use during this hearing. This case, do you want me to continue with what I know of the case?
Yes, sure.
This, you may or may not remember, this property was before the board prior, and it ended with a running fine, which is still in place. There are additional issues with the house at this time. Originally, it was the bad wood and the siding. Now we've got electrical, now we've got plumbing, now we've got outside storage, now we have other issues, which is why we're bringing it back before you. I spoke with Mr. Rathjen when I first put a notice on the house, and he did call, and we did speak, and he was asking for some additional time to do the work. My reply to him at that time was, we have been down this road before. I don't think anybody is going to be inclined to give you some additional time without some sort of progress, without a permit, without work being done, without actually visually seeing some things. And we agreed that that was probably the case. This morning I came in, and Mr. Rathjen states that last week he had gotten the permit. And I know prior it he had extended it, and it expired. And last time I checked last week, it was still expired. This morning, Mr. Rathjen told me that he went last week and extended it again. I ran down to permits and licensing this morning, and he this morning went in requesting the extension. When I was there Thursday, there were simple things that could have been done that weren't. The outside storage was still there. There is a dumpster on site and a trailer on site. For me, all that does is make it more unsightly. I mean, really, there's some things in the dumpster, but they're inside things. The outside storage is still there. Everything is as it was, if not worse. And I'm inclined to say that unless we have significant progress by the next hearing, that we ask him to come back for the imposition of a fine.
Okay. Mr. Rathjen?
Okay. To back up, I was in process of working on that house, getting the last of those code violations taken care of. I had gotten hurt last fall. Prior to the final meeting, I had hurt my back and I wasn't able to finish what I was doing. Well, got back on it a couple of months ago, got back on working on it, was going ahead, and this came along. We had tore some more stuff apart on the back of the property, found some more wood that had to be replaced. We opened up some more things, and this is what created where they saw plumbing that was exposed, electrical was exposed, because we opened up some more things to see what we were dealing with. The materials that are stored out there on the back of that property are construction materials that are directly related to the siding and doing that work on the house. As far as the damage to the driveway, I had wanted to meet Ms. Langford out there and go over that with her, because most of the properties in Pelican Bay have that sort of cracks in those concrete driveways out there. It's all over Pelican Bay, same way. I wanted to get an idea of what she was talking about, to what degree, because it's no worse than most of the other properties on there as far as the driveway. If I need to do something with it, I'll do it, but it is an expensive proposition, which I was out of work for quite a while when I got hurt, and money has been a big issue for me. As far as the house numbers on the house, I had those made. The balcony, I'm going back and forth with a structural engineer to try and come up with the best way to handle that, to get that brought into repair and compliance. And what they spoke about electrical fixture or plumbing fixtures, that was part of what we tore down on the outside of the house, and it was just it's still open. We have not moved ahead on cutting all that loose yet, but it's exposed because there was like a sink, patio sink sort of thing out there, barbecue area, and it had taken on some rot. We tore it down and hadn't taken down the actual plumbing fixture with it yet, but that was next to be done. And as far as getting a hold of Ms. Langford, I called her many times after I found the violation. And finally, we spoke, it was probably a few weeks ago, and I did talk to her, and she said that we do want to see some things happen. We've since put a 20-yard dumpster out there to throw away all the debris and construction material that's getting torn down, and that's what's going on at this point.
Okay, Mr. Rafton, you said you will have attempted to contact Ms. Langford. How were you notified of the particular violations in this case, not the previous case, but in this case? The reason I'm asking is because I'm looking at a certified mail receipt that doesn't have a signature.
I found it taped to the door on the property.
The notice? Okay.
It was taped to the door, and when I found it, I called Ms. Langford. We played phone tag for weeks, probably the better part of a month we played phone tag.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, could I ask a couple questions?
Absolutely.
Is anyone living in this property right now?
I am.
You are living in this property right now. Can someone tell me when the previous violations occurred and what the disposition of that case was? Vicki, I heard you mention that there was a running fine on this property already.
Correct.
Hold on, Ms. Koenig. I don't know if we can discuss that case in relationship to this
one. Well, I'm wondering if it becomes a nuisance property at that point.
Well, I can tell you that I was the one that had the case, got the running fine. I did have several complaints. Neighbors, also anonymous, also from the Laura Miller HOA, the association.
But we did work on correcting those violations. We went around and doing the wood, and Dan had come out and seen we did a significant amount of work on that before I had gotten hurt, because we were moving ahead on doing everything he asked us to do.
I can't agree on that. Yeah. I mean, he had issues with getting the material. They had it sent back. They had to get a new one out. But there was still a lot of work. Some stuff that I had told him to get up to, and he couldn't get up to the top and paint it. Painted the side. But, I mean, we're getting into another case that
okay. Okay. All right.
You have several issues here. Do you have contractors working on your electric and plumbing? Or?
I do now. I've got somebody to help me with that. The electrical and the plumbing on there are small issues. The big issue is that back balcony.
Okay. Are these licensed contractors?
Yes. Yes.
Vicki?
The big issue is that back balcony, which I'm trying to figure out with the engineer how to go ahead and save it. If not, we may have to tear that section down. And that's been the issue. Everything else on that list that he's put in front of me can be repaired within 30 days. The back balcony, that I'm not sure of yet.
Okay, Ms. Raffin, let me hear from Ms. Langford.
The complaints from the Homeowners Association, neighbors, people that live in the neighborhood continue and continue vociferously. The permit that he applied for this morning was only for wood. There was no permit applied for the electrical, for the plumbing, and if, as Mr. Rathjen states, it can be done in 30 days, I would ask why nothing has been done to date on either this case or the prior case.
On this case, it hasn't been done because there's a bunch of work that has to go all hand in hand, but as far as the plumbing and electrical, those are simple things, and I wasn't even aware that that part of it really even needed a permit because it was so simple. It was just outside repairs. That's all it was, capping off some things that were in place from before. I'm just trying to get to the bottom of the big issue and get it handled. And part of my problem with this is created with these neighbors. Most of the unsightly stuff around the front of the house, all that stuff had been taken care of, but the problem that came up with the neighbors was all over a situation a while back with my son and having a boat out there, and it turned into a heated argument around Pelican Bay.
And Mr. Rafton, that's not exactly, I'm not trying to sound cold or insensitive, but that's not relevant to this particular case. Let me ask you a question, though. When did you hire your electrician and or your plumber?
Have I hired them? I've worked with two people that I do work with hand in hand, and they said that they would take care of it for me. I haven't literally written a contract with them. They said they would do it. So that's the way it was left.
Okay, I think Mr. Harrington's question was, have you actually hired a contractor?
Have I hired a general contractor?
Not a GC. No. It could be a plumber, licensed plumber, and a licensed electrician.
I have not hired those people yet because I didn't even realize I really needed to have a contract to do this.
And you don't have permits for those, the electric or the
plumber? I didn't realize I needed a permit for the electrical and the permit because it was only simple repairs is all it was. It wasn't anything new or anything like that.
I'm sure that Vicky must have told you.
No one told me that part. No one had told me that part. It was just a question of capital. It's just two things that need to be capped off to take care of that.
Vicky, for the record, can you clarify or tell Mr. Rafshin exactly what we're dealing with in terms of plumbing and electrical so he'll be aware also?
The plumbing wires have been exposed to the elements for I don't know how long. It's not a matter of just putting a little face on the electric. For it to be safe, you need an electrician to be out there, look at it, make sure that everything is safe. The plumbing, again, I don't know. You can
see that's all being
hold on, Mr. Rapson. Let Ms.
There's Lincoln a lot of wood around it. You don't know what's behind the wall. You don't know the situation.
That's being removed.
It's not just something simple.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to find.
Not yet. We have to find him in compliance and then give him an opportunity.
Find him in non-compliance at this point.
We have to do that and allow him the opportunity to bring the property into compliance.
Within the next 30 days.
Before we impose a fine. If that's your desire. 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
If 30 days is what you desire.
I second that.
We don't have a motion yet.
Read the motion, please.
Is that what your motion is? Go ahead, Ms. Kundig.
Next cutoff date, please.
I believe Ms. Kunick is asking for a motion to find the owner in non-compliance and allowing the respondent until 7/3/2012 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is that your motion, Ms. Kunick?
Yes, it is.
Do we have a second?
Can I speak, sir?
We have a second by Mr. Smart. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. What we've done, Mr. Rafshin, we have allowed you until July 3rd, 2012 to bring the property into compliance, or you'll be returned to this board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per And Mr. Rafshin, let me just ask that you communicate with Ms. Langford to notify her as to what progress you're making, and then we can make other considerations also that might benefit you.
I believe I can get most all the things on her list taken care of by then, but like stated earlier, I'm not sure about that back deck because that back deck is going to take a little bit.
Okay. You can, again, communicate with Ms. Langford and then we can discuss those things.
Can I get a phone number where I can actually contact you at? Because the number that I call, I can never get through on.
Well, we've spoken several times.
Mr. Rafshin, let me just ask you a quick question also. Is there a better address where we might be able to notify you also for the record?
I think I've got someone playing with my mail. It goes into the mail, Pelican Bay, and I think I've got somebody playing around with my mail to tell you the truth.
Okay, because your address for the record
Pelican
is 948 Pelican Bay Drive.
That's correct.
Okay. Just thought I would ask.
It goes into a general mail area. It doesn't get delivered right to the houses. There's mail huts around the development, and that's where it goes.
I believe that you all have boxes, mailboxes, in one general area, as you're saying.
Correct.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Yeah, here's the key. Yeah.
Mr. Burnett, I believe you might be the only member of council present. If you'd like to come forward, but we would hear from you as well. What case is that in?
Number four. Page two, number four.
We're going to take case number four, which is CEB 041226, ABEW Partnership LLP. The property is located at 1216 Kennedy Boulevard.
Good morning, Chairman Stevens and members of the board. My name is Random Burnett, 825 Ballou Road, Daytona Beach, 32114. I represent ABEW Partnership. Just to refresh the board, this matter was before you at your meeting on April the 12th. on two violations, one of which was the failure to have a sign required by the fire department disclosing a certain type of construction. The second was the failure to have a active city license. The property is found to be in compliance with the disclosure sign, found to be in non-compliance with the license requirement. Subsequent to that meeting, and I'm not sure of that date, the property was inspected, and not surprising, there was a lengthy list. David Newell is the officer in charge of the property. Basically, there was an inspection scheduled for yesterday afternoon. That did not take place because there were still two items that we were waiting for delivery on. What I have is a list here that I can give to Officer Newell and also to your clerk showing what we have accomplished. I'm not going to bore the board by going through that list. Those two items remain to be done are the installation of two hearing-impaired smoke detectors, which are not available through local vendors but are on order and expected within the next few days, and some few remaining window screens. What we're asking the board for is an additional 30 days to have the matter brought into compliance, and we frankly anticipate that we'll be in compliance within about a week. And I think the next thing I do is to turn this over to Mr. Newell and get his input.
Thank you. Morning, David.
David Newell, City of Daytona Beach Fire Department. As you remember, 60 days ago we came back for this property. They have come in compliance with the lightweight trust sign and the business tax receipt still outstanding. A little bit of history. At the 60 days ago meeting, we asked for 30 days. He had asked for 60 days to ensure compliance, so we granted you granted him 60 days to ensure compliance to make sure everything was good. I don't have the exact inspection date right in front of me. I had an inspection date pretty soon thereafter discussing a lot of the problems that are on this list. And then all of a sudden we got a call a couple days ago from, I guess, who's the on-site manager, the on-site maintenance guy, excuse me, wanting to come out and try to look at the property again. It was inspected again yesterday. Inspector Sievertson did that inspection for me. And at that point, we still have some outstanding violations, which are the battery-operated smoke detectors for the hearing-impaired and the window screens. So we had they asked for a 60-day extension. You guys granted that, and most of that 60 days, nothing really occurred until probably about a week ago. But the property is still in non-compliance at this time.
We're here for an imposition of a fine. David, what is the city's position in terms of imposition of a fine or maybe amending the order?
From the experience of waiting till the last minute, I still have, typically, as you know, when we come here and we have some life safety issues and such, we try to take care of them quite quickly to ensure that the people that are in the apartment complexes or in homes or, you know, make sure that they're safe. We still have some of these issues that are outstanding, my opinion.
What are the life safety issues you're talking about?
Well, basically, they have to have battery-operated smoke detectors that are for hearing-impaired people, so they only have to have a couple, and that is for in the event that they were to rent to somebody that is hearing-impaired, that that they have, because your normal devices that are in your apartment or your home now, they don't work. Basically, they're big strobes, so the hearing impaired obviously wouldn't hear it, but they see big flash of lights. They usually sit on a table. They vibrate so that the vibration could also possibly be felt by the individual, and then the strobes, I mean, it's a huge strobe. So they just have to have those available. They don't have to have them up, but they have to have them available in the event that they rent to somebody like that. It's an ADA requirement, Americans with Disabilities Act requirement.
How many units are in this building? I don't remember.
20, if I remember correctly.
I'm not really sure.
Is that right, exactly. Mr. Brunette?
Yeah. 20. In the 20s.
And
in
is the 20s. That the only life safety issue that...
That is the only life safety issue, yes. Just having those, correct. Yeah, everything else is fine. The smoke detector, the other smoke detectors, the fire extinguishers, and everything else is been remedied and taken care of for the most part, or has been taken care of.
David, I know you said that they're going to have that because of the need of that hearing impaired. Do you know of any residents in place now that are hearing impaired?
Not to my knowledge. I'd have to defer to...
If they would agree not to rent in the next 30 days to anybody.
I'm sorry?
So I'm wondering if they could agree not to rent to anybody that's hearing impaired, at least till they get those up. And they can't not do that because I don't want to get...
Discriminate, right.
Just to, like those, as I said, around that way. I'm just wondering if that... If there's nobody there at the present time,
that's my concern. If we're willing to continue to the next cutoff, I just wanted to make note that they had asked for the 60 days and it didn't. It waited to the last minute.
I'm trying to just avoid a liability problem on the city's part. If they were to rent tomorrow to somebody who's hearing impaired, they're not in there. We knew they weren't in there and they're renting to them. I just don't want that to happen.
Okay. Yes, I. Okay, we can agree to that.
I don't want you not to rent until you get a lawsuit because you've rented enough. Okay, well, the city told me not to.
I guess with that being the only issue, we could continue to next month because there's nothing life-threatening in this sense as long as nobody can rent to a hearing-impaired individual.
The inspection you had... Was that by you or by a city inspector, not related to the fire department?
No, Brian is another fire inspector, such as myself. He was doing the business tax receipt, is what it's called, inspection on that property. Coordination didn't know it actually was happening, so he had started it. So I let him finish, and we were in direct communication.
The window screens issue came up in that.
Correct. That's when we do the business tax receipt. It's not just fire department related. It's everything that the city requires to have a business tax license for that type of business.
And that's the only thing left besides
that and the hearing or the smoke detectors. Correct. Those are the two items.
What was the other one?
The screens. There's a bunch of window screens that are required. We typically don't enforce those. It's a fire. But when we do business tax receipts, there's those things we have to look at. We don't do most of those though.
Mr. Brunette, David, before you go, hold on. There are 20 units in the apartment complex. And for the record, so Mr. Brunette would know, how many units are you asking him to have on hand? I'm sure that he won't rent to 20 hearing-impaired individuals, but...
He's only required to have two. To three. So, yeah, okay. I think we told them two would be fine.
Okay.
But,
okay, thanks. Mr. Brunette, is that something you feel you can do within the next 30 days or... 7-3?
Yes, sir.
And what about the screens? How are we?
Those are already on order and paid for. We're anticipating delivery within some time within next of the week's time frame.
Okay. The inspector has obviously asked us to amend our previous order and allow you until July 3rd to bring the property into compliance, and it sounds as though that's amenable for you as well?
Correct.
Okay, Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order allowing the respondent until July 3rd, 2012 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of the $1,000 per day.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Boren, second by Mr. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board?
I want to make sure that there's understanding that until those detectors are in that, you're not going to rent to a hearing impaired person.
That's correct.
I'm going to propose an amendment to that.
Would you like, Mr. Boynes, would you like to add that as a stipulation
Absolutely.
To the motion?
Yes.
Smart. Okay. We're also requiring that you not, well, we're requesting that you not rent those units to any hearing impaired individuals until you've actually received those units as well.
So agreed.
Okay. We have a motion again with the stipulation, a motion and second. Are there additional questions or comments by members of the board?
No.
Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Okay. Thanks, Random.
Thank you.
Take care.
And you see.
Okay. It appears as though we only have a few respondents. If it's okay with the board, how about if we just call them up so we can take care of their cases, and then we'll move forward with the rest. You're up front if you'd like to come up. What case number is it?
Case CEB.
What's the number?
061258, sir.
What number is that on the agenda?
I'm sorry. Where's that at? Okay. Okay.
Cheryl Ann Wilson Minnick?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, let's move to case number 20, which is CEB 061258. Cheryl Ann Wilson Minnick. The property is located at 1417 Swanee Road. I'm believing that you're Ms. Minnick?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Cheryl Ann Wilson hyphen Minnick, Emma.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Where's Michael? Okay. Ms. Minnick, we're going to hear from the inspector first, and then we'll take testimony from you as well. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. My name is Officer Michael Fitzgerald. I'm employed with the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer. My credentials are on file with the city. Case number CEB 071198. Case number CEB 061258. City of Daytona Beach versus McKinnick, Sherrill, and Wilson. Property address 1417 Swanee Road, Daytona Beach, Florida. Parcel ID number 40153308440160.
What can you tell us about it, Michael?
This was a complaint in reference to the swimming pool being unsanitary conditions, green, backyard not being mowed, front yard not being mowed, and the two windows in the front of the house being boarded over. And this is where we were able to get our view.
Looks like the property is overgrown.
Yes, sir.
But that's not part of this violation. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us?
Yeah, this is it. This is the swimming pool is the violation, and the window frames. The windows are boarded over.
Okay. Okay. Mrs. Wilson Minnick, what would you like to tell us?
Okay. Well, I do, and I know this is probably, you know, kind of overview and everything, but in 2008, well, I was tremendously hurt in an accident in 2008, and I've been having people to do the work on my property until I ran out of money virtually. I did have to do a 13 bankruptcy. And I'm trying to get this done as soon as possible as far as the yard. I have somebody Friday coming to get all the overgrown hedges from the land property behind me, which is 1416 Sunland. I've constantly had to pay money because their hedges, which are 30 feet tall, keep continuously knocking down my fence and coming over on my property. And I've talked to the Fairways Estates many, many times to get that taken care of, and there's no compliance, so I don't know exactly what to do there. As far as the windows, they were busted out by penny savers. Someone threw penny savers through my front window and then bashed in the side back window. I've been trying to, collect money. Finally, I had my tax return. I'm talking to my attorney and her assistant to let me have my income tax from the trustee for me to do this. This does take about 4 to 6 weeks, is what I was told by Jennifer from Cheryl Zust. And also with the pool, I had pool from where he was standing at 1421, there has been oil bottles thrown in my pool, and that's why you see the fluorescent and the green, and I have pictures of everything for you, and penny savers in the windows. I've been constantly attacked by these certain people, and I do believe it's 1421 Sewanee, and I just got to the point to where... What do? I don't have the money to get this all fixed at once. So as soon as I was notified, I had this plastered on my front board on 327, I believe. So I've been trying. I was overwhelmed because everything came at once between the yard, the pool, and the front windows to get that all done at once. And plus, I'm just a single person working. My ex was supposed to help me out, and of course, he didn't show up. So I'm trying to do the best I can. And like I said, my yard will be done. The guy is supposed to be doing that on this Friday, which is tomorrow.
Okay, he's actually already Ms. Wilson Minnick, we're only addressing the swimming pool, which is unsanitary, and the boarded windows.
Right. And I'm working on the estimates on that, sending that to my attorney for that to go through the trustee to get that approved, to get my income tax refunded back to me, and so therefore I can get this work done. I'm unable to lift. The only thing that I wasn't able to do is I can't lift the filter casing off of the filter because of my back injury, and I can no longer mow. And as far as the windows, yes, they do need to be done. I just had an estimate, and it's like over, it's going to be over $400 to do that, including this the screens that was busted. So it's been kind of hairy with people terrorizing me in my neighborhood, and you know just kind of giving up. And, you know, when this came, I was like, okay, I need to get all this done. So I'm trying to get it done as soon as possible, sirs.
Okay. Are you currently residing at 1417 Sewanee Road?
Yes, sir.
Okay. How long do you think it would take you to bring the property into compliance?
Hopefully within, like they said, as soon as I get the estimates in, within 4 to 6 weeks, she said. And sometimes they even get it in sooner that I can use that money. And, you know, I'll try and do whatever I can if I can do one window at a time, or, try and see if I can get somebody. You know, I want to work through the pool company, Blue Water. Always, I had my pool refinished a couple of years ago, so they've always done a great job. But I'm fearing because there's oil in the pool that it's going to take a lot more money, and that's what I'm afraid of.
Okay.
I have the pictures of the oil bottles and everything that was thrown in my pool.
Michael, do you have any recommendations?
When I spoke to her on the phone, she had said that I guess she's going through a bankruptcy and that mm-hmm. she has to ask for the money to be issued to her.
Right.
And for that reason, I would give her another 30 days.
She's stating that it would take 4 to 6 weeks.
Yes,
4 to 6 weeks. Okay.
That's what the trust, what my lawyer's office told me.
And that would at least put us to August 1st.
2 months.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm trying the best I can.
So. Is there
Ms. Minnick, are you going through personal bankruptcy? Is that... That's what you filed for. When you talk about a trustee, you're talking about the person that's taking care of the bankruptcy? And when did you file for bankruptcy?
The day, was it 2010?
2010.
I don't have the specific date. I know mm-hmm. I went to
Quincy. Mm-hmm. And...
I don't
well, well, that's sorry. Fine. It's been a while.
It's been crazy, yeah. I mean, with everything going on, and plus me physically not being able to do anything like I could before, which I love doing.
We would agree with her, the 2 months extension, if she would put a floating chlorine in the pool so that there's no more mosquito problems for the neighbors.
Okay. Is there a life safety issue at all, Michael?
It has a fence around the whole thing.
Okay, great.
I did have one of those insert, and it just kept turning green, so I took it out but put a floating chlorine.
Will you agree to that?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I am concerned about the pool as a life safety issue because it breeds mosquitoes.
Well, that's what we're trying to if she agrees to put the chlorine tablet in the pool. And okay.
Dump some chlorine in there.
Right. Multiple tablets. Yeah.
Multiple tablets. I mean, it's going to take liquid chlorine to do that.
I've got 4 bottles of liquid chlorine. I just need somebody. I can't lift them. I have to get somebody to pour. I was going to do that before the oil.
That's not an expensive proposition to do.
I guess
she's
saying she physically can't lift it up.
I can't. I've had those bottles prior that I was going to use in the pool before the oil bottles were I found in my pool. And now I'm afraid to do anything because oil might mess up my whole system. That's what I'm worried about. So, yes, I do have liquid chlorine, and I do have multiple tabs of chlorine, too, whatever you need me to do.
At least for the next 30 or 60 days, he's not requiring that you run it. He's just requiring that you put something in it to be able to deal with those issues.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Ms. Minnick, do you agree that some or all of the violations existed at the time you were notified?
I'm sorry, sir?
Do you agree that some or all of these violations existed at the time that you were notified of the violations?
Yes, sir.
Chair would entertain a motion finding respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent until August 1st, 2012 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Borns. Are there questions or comments by members of the board?
Yes, please. I think that this is a to wait until August 1st to do the pool.
Oh.
I'm willing to do that for the windows, but I'm not willing to do that for the pool because of the time of year that it is and because of the breeding ground for mosquitoes. And there are pool companies that will come out and put chlorine in your pool for you and determine whether or not these bottles or whatever is in there will, you know, prevent you from running the pump. So I really don't want this to go on for 2 more months.
No, let me address that, Mrs. Kundig, and I'm going to ask Mr. Borns to amend his order and Mr. Smart to amend his second to require Ms. Minnick to treat the pool with chlorine, if you would consider that, on a consistent basis.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Are there additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all in the favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Okay. Thanks, Ms. Minnick.
So that is August the 1st.
Yes, but you will have to treat the pool with the chlorine.
And I do understand that. And I'll be on top of chlorine.
And if if you run into any issues, please communicate with Mr. Fitzgerald.
I sure will. Thank you very much. We'll get this done as soon as possible. Thank you very, very much.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You too, sir.
Who's next? What case is that, John?
Case number 13.
Okay. This is a letter from a place saying he's in a clinical trial and unable to attend, and that's his written request for continuance.
Thank you.
number 13.
Rosa Neyes, N-E-J-E-S.
Okay, I'm
going to
need that one more time.
Rosa?
Rosa?
Neyes, N-E-J-E-S.
Can you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. What case was that again?
13.
And that's the request for continuance that you just gave us?
Okay. I believe she's here on behalf of her husband at... Yes. Someone here, because he could not be here, sent in a letter and a request for continuance.
Okay, thank you. Case number 13 is CEB 041235 JOKA Holdings or JOKA Holdings Incorporated. Property is located at 933 Tomoka Road. John, what would you like to tell us?
Well, before he tells anything.
Okay.
Then it goes to the merits of the case.
We do have a request for continuance, a written request for continuance of all of the that was submitted by Carl. Is it Nagis?
Yes.
Have all of the members of the board had the opportunity to read it?
Yes.
No.
It basically states that Mr. Nagis is in a clinic for treatment, and he's asking that we continue the case because he won't be available or discharged until tomorrow, June 15, 2012, at 7:30 p.m., according to his written communication, which was received by Ms. Hampton. What is the board's position in terms of Mr. Nagis' request for continuance?
I think we need to know if there's any life safety issues out there.
Okay. Yeah. And I'll ask Mr. Stenson for his comments. John?
As far as the life safety issues, no, there are not.
What's the city's position regarding the continuance?
Good morning. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector. Employed with the city. My qualifications are on file. This is case number CEB 041235, City of Daytona Beach versus JOKA Holdings, Inc., registered agent Carl Nagis. The property address is 933 Tomoka Road. Parcel ID is 5237-2502-0020. First, to address the continuance requests. The one that's before you is dated June 13th. You've had the opportunity to review that. I want to bring to your attention that this is the second request for continuance. The first one came on April 26th of this year, and I do have a copy of that that I can pass around. Considering that, considering the fact of the two requests for continuances and the fact that this case began in October of last year, okay, I'm willing to give him a continuance until the next cutoff. But just until the next cutoff.
I share the concerns that you have. I just wonder what's been done since you were first notified that there were code violations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was the our smoke detector was put in. It was some board around the house that was put in. Some wire in the living room that was done. Also, there was a wire in the kitchen going to the cabinet over the sink that he required. And we called a lot of electricians. They said it was coming. The girl would not let him in. Then finally, we got a person who did it. It was one wire. My husband came here for permit. They said, no, the electrician had to come and get his own permit. Well, he did, and we did that. So the only thing that is, in my knowledge, that is he is still unsatisfied is one of the doors that one of the tenants stole the door, and we put it, and he said that it's not closing properly. So that's the only thing that I know that has to be taken care of, change the door again, because it says it's a gap in top. That's the only thing that I know that has to be done.
Mr. Stenson, when was the last time you were in the property or looking at the property?
I myself performed re-inspection on this property 2 days ago. Prior to that, the supervisor, Mr. Garcia, was requested by her husband to come out.
Excuse me. We didn't request him. He was trying to communicate with you, so we didn't get no answer. We sent the letter to clarify what had to be done.
Okay.
So we didn't request him.
Okay. Prior to my re-inspection, Supervisor Mr. Garcia inspected the property. I've inspected the property multiple times prior to that. In my personal opinion, the progress on this property has been slow, way too slow. In between the actual citing of the violation and the re-inspections and the point to where we got to today, there's been a turnover of tenants. Mr. Negus was informed not to. He did. Most of the violations have been corrected after some goading by myself. There are a few things left. The issue with the door is not the fact that the door doesn't fit. The door is too small by quite a bit. There's another exterior door that the hardware to it is extremely dilapidated, and that needs to be replaced as well. He still has to give me proof of infestation management. He hasn't supplied that yet. And I have found out that he did obtain the permit for the electrical work that was done.
Mr. Stenson, this is the original charges that when you, from October, there's nothing added on.
No, sir. Those are the original.
In this letter, they referred to new items ordered. You didn't add anything, did
I you? Really don't understand why that that wording was used.
So the roof has been fixed? The dilapidated roof has been fixed?
The roof wasn't
wrong
with the roof.
I noticed staining of the ceilings.
Clearly, there was a roof leak. In fact, there were two active roof leaks. They both have been fixed. On the exterior, the interior, the one leak over the bathroom, it is in the process of being fixed. Mr. Negus and his wife called me yesterday and said that there was an issue going on with the bathroom. The tenants were taking a shower and need to open a window or something. At any rate, when I inspected it 2 days ago, it was in non-compliance.
That leak in the bathroom is not a leak. It's a plaster that fall because they don't open the window. It's an 80-year-old bungalow, okay? So they don't have no fan. They don't open the window when they take a shower, so if there's steam. So we fix it. So the people who live in the place are being evicted because they don't pay the rent. So they are breaking things on purpose. As you know, they broke it, made a hole. You were there the week before. There was no hole in that bedroom. They made a hole in that. They broke five tiles, and they keep breaking things.
Okay.
So I don't know if you were there yesterday.
Ms. Negus, we can only address those things that are a part of this violation. Yes, we'll address those later.
The bathroom is violated.
The she is correct. during my last inspection, there were some new issues there that weren't there during my last inspection.
The issue, Mr. Chairman, is not the merits of the case at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Whether we're going to give them the
30 days. Yeah, additional time.
Right.
Okay. Under continuance. Okay.
Before we hear the case.
Ms. Negus, based on what I have in front of me, you all were first notified back in October of 2011 of these violations.
Yeah, I said it to you before. My husband sent letters. He tried to communicate with the inspector. We never get a call back. Finally, when we was in court here the last time, he went and clarified what had to be fixed, because there was a lot of questions about the roof, and there was no leak in the roof. The ceiling in the bathroom was like those hanging ceiling kind of. And the people who was living there were very filthy. There was thrown things all over the place. There was staying in the ceiling, but it was not for water, but from the soda they were standing. And then they took the broom and broke the ceiling, so we put a new ceiling. It's only one family property there that we own between four people, right? And it is not, we don't make any money with these people. I was against them together from the property. I was no part of it. But the thing is, the people that you rent around there, they just go there for a couple of months and then won't pay rent and move to the next person and break the places. Still, even the stove they stole from me.
Ms. Negus, if we grant you an additional amount of time to bring the property into compliance, and I understand based on what I've read that you're evicting the current tenants,
yes.
Can we be assured that you'll bring the property into compliance by the next cutoff date or whatever we allow you?
Yes,
and that you will not rent the property until it is brought into compliance?
It's only two doors they have to leave, right? It's two doors?
No, ma'am.
What else is there? I'm trying to clarify. What else is there? It's two doors.
Before I answer her question, have we decided whether or not we're going to go with this continuance or because it's rather lengthy?
Yeah. Based on what we have, John, I think it's stated in Mr. Negus's letter they were evicting the current tenants, and that won't occur until the end of the month?
Unfortunately, this situation isn't the first time.
Right.
When they were first noticed, as you can tell in the picture, they moved in new tenants January 2nd of 2012. So the reason given that we can't do any work until we evicted tenants, unfortunately, that's not going to work for me right now.
Okay. Do you think if we allow them until the next cutoff, based on the situation with the eviction, that they will have adequate time to get it done?
Yes, they will have enough time.
Okay. That will be about 3 days from the 30th of June until July 3rd.
I believe so, because the issues that need to be corrected, they can prep, have all the materials ready between now and that time. As soon as people walk out the door, they can come in, take care of it, give me a call.
Do you have an a business tax receipt?
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
Let me ask either Mr. Cino and or Mr. Jackson, can we stipulate they do not rent the property until the property is brought into compliance as part of the motion?
Yeah. I just want to be clear of what is that has to be done. To him, so we can do it before. What is
happening? Only the board is in front of us when you give you some more time or not.
Oh, okay.
You need to sit down with Mr. Spencer about that.
All right.
Based on testimony that's provided by the inspector and information that was provided within the record, Chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until July 3rd, 2012 to bring the property into compliance or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of the $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Borns, second by Mr. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? And, excuse me, Mr. Borns, would you also include in your motion that the respondent is not allowed to rent the property until it's brought into compliance?
Agreed.
Mr.
Agreed.
Okay. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
Yeah. Mr. Stenson has said several times that this has happened before. And in front of us, the action to be taken is to impose a fine. I think that, I mean, I guess till July 3rd, which is a month from now or less, I might be able to agree with, but this started in October, and I just don't think that any more amount of time, especially since the behavior, the apartment was rented, or the house was rented again. I don't see the cooperation and the effort, is what I'm saying.
You have a meeting on the 12th, and if this motion passes, you can impose fine at that time.
No, we can impose fine now.
You can impose fine now. That's correct.
If this motion fails.
The motion violation being fixed.
Okay. Are there additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, same sign?
Aye.
One opposed? Okay, Ms. Anitas, we've allowed you until July 3rd to bring the property into compliance.
Thank you.
And Mr. Stinson will advise you as to what needs to be done to bring the how you can bring the property into compliance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Stinson, you're going to give her a specific list and have her sign it so we don't have to go through this. I don't know.
Yes.
What's your case number?
11.
Number 11. Okay. Case number 11 is CEB 041229, Rosa Branham and Levi Miller. Property is located at 535 Division Street. And we're
Robert Sanders.
Excuse me, what's the number of this case?
Number 11.
Yes, the number 11.
Can you raise your right hand, please,
to
solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony
you're
about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do. Good morning, Mr. Sanders. For the record, I believe you were the nephew to Mr. Miller. Is that correct?
No.
How were you related to, or were you related to Mr. Miller? or Mrs. Branham?
Well, Miss Branham, Rose Branham,
yes,
is my uncle's girlfriend.
Okay.
Okay.
And is Levi Miller
right.
Your
Levi
uncle?
Levi never knew him. He was gone before I ever. And she died, and he was my uncle. So after he died, then I stayed there. So I was kidding him.
So just for the record, you are Mr. Miller's nephew.
I don't even know Mr. Miller.
No, that's not what I'm asking. Who is your uncle?
My
the
uncle's
name
was James Williams.
Oh.
Thank you.
Okay.
Right. Girlfriend.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So
there's no relationship between yourself and Mr. Miller.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And who's the actual owner of the property? That's the people listed here?
They're deceased.
Who is the owner?
It will be.
I thought we
Branham
went through this last
Miller.
Time.
Yes, we did.
And I don't. Did we come up with a?
Is it in probate?
I'm paying taxes on it.
Right.
To the fact that the close of kin gave me permission to stay there, and
you're a tenant,
right,
for the record.
Right.
Okay. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning. Good morning. Substantial work has been done. He's been working on the property. City's requesting to the next cutoff, just so you can finish some odds and ends things that he needs to attend to. But he has made substantial work on the property.
This is not the picture of the substantial work, I hope.
Obviously.
Do you have one?
towards the end.
maybe we need an updated picture.
Thank you.
It would give us a little clearer idea.
Okay. Do you have any objection to that, Mr. Sanders?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Thank you.
Based on the testimony of the inspector, Mr. Lopez, chair would entertain a motion amending our previous order and allowing the respondent until July 3rd, 2012 to bring the property into compliance will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. So such a motion?
So moved.
I leave the motion, Mr. Borns, second by Mr. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Thank you, Mr. Sanders.
Thank you.
See the picture. I think we have gotten rid of all of our respondents. Going back to case number one, which is CEB 031139, Paul G. and Linda E. Herold. The property is located at 136 South Peninsula Drive. We're here for consideration of an imposition of a fine. Michael, is there anything you wanted to tell us about it? Okay.
At this time, the property, we're going to be going for a fine. The bank looks like it decided to stop the foreclosure proceedings. And we're looking for $150 a day, maxed out at $15,000.
Has there been any progress or communication, Michael?
Not really. Amy got some documents off the court website. That discuss that they're stopping the foreclosure. Is that something you'd like to know?
No, I was just wondering if they had communicated with you at all, or if you had any contact.
Mr. Fitzgerald. The city paid $1,350 to board up the property.
Right.
Did Bank of America send that check to the city ever?
My understanding is they were talking with Reed Berger's office, and they sent it a couple times. I'm not sure if the city was able to figure out how to cash it.
We don't have any use for it.
Can we also include that as part of the motion?
Yes. I
mean, recovery of the amount that was expended by the city. What was that amount again, Ms. Kundick?
$1,350, I believe.
Do you have something that shows that? It's not on my thing. Where? How did
1320?
You know
1320.
I went back to the case.
Oh, okay.
1320.
And the minutes?
$1,320.
$1,320,
sorry. Based on what I have, and I'll share it with members of the board, it says supply materials and labor to board up units 138 South Peninsula, upper and lower floors. That amount was $560. Supply material and labor to board up 136 South Peninsula. The amount of the expenditure was $760, and that was by the city as an invoice. And it appears as though it's Art Wilmot Carpentry Incorporated, 784 Little Pine Drive, South Daytona. The invoice is dated March 8, 2011. It's invoice number 98. Based on testimony and information as provided by the inspector, Chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $150 per day, with a maximum of $15,000 until compliance is achieved, plus allowing the city of Daytona Beach to recover its expenditures for repairs and or improvements to the property in the amount of $1,320, which is indicated by the invoice, which is included in the record. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Bourne. Is there a second?
Second.
Are there any questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Irrelevant now, I guess. Do we need to go back and amend and say effective today? Okay. I'll take that. Thank you. We have disposed of case number two, which was Case number two, CEB 051243, is in compliance as of June 13, 2012. Case number three is CEB 051244, Richard F. and Suzanne R. McGreevy. Property is located at 900 North Wild Olive Avenue. Hi, Bob.
Good morning. My name is Barbara Collins. I'm employed by the City of Daytona Beach. We are here on case number CEB 051244 for the imposition of a fine for outside storage on Richard and Suzanne McGreevy. City is requesting a fine of $100 per day, capped at $15,000.
Effective today?
Yes.
Does any member of the board have any questions of Ms. Collins?
No. Have you been in touch with these people?
Yes.
They're just non-cooperative.
Correct.
Based on testimony that's provided by the inspector and information that's provided in the record, Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent $100 per day, effective today, June 14, 2012, or until compliance is achieved with a maximum amount of $15,000. Such a motion?
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Bourne's. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Case number four has been disposed of. Case number five, which, Barbara, did you have anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay. Case number five is CEB 051246, Costica and Maria Kosaka. Property is located at 624 Brannock Avenue. We're here for consideration of imposition of a fine.
Good morning, David Newell, Daytona Beach, City of Daytona Beach Fire Department. It's case number CEB 05-12-46, Costica and Marie Corsica versus the City of Daytona Beach. At the last hearing, we gave them till this month. City is looking for the imposition of a fine. They have corrected everything with the exception of the smoke detectors. At last meeting, you gave them 10 days to take care of that. I went back on 5/10. That was not corrected. 5/29, and again on 6/11. Each one of those three dates, he had maybe done one or two, but he has not completed the rest of them. This is an apartment complex that houses about 12 to 14 units, and the smoke detectors are not installed as they're supposed to. He tried putting up battery-operated smoke detectors when he was advised prior that they have to be hardwired. So basically what he did was where the hardwired was, he just turned around and bought some smoke detectors that were not hardwired, and he put them up there and to try to cover the hole and where the electricity is. We see this quite often, so I took down the smoke detector and looked and did notice, because this is a type of smoke detector that usually is not hardwired. So anyway, we still have smoke detectors that are not in compliance in the majority of the units, and looking for the imposition of a fine of $100 a day up to $20,000. I have also had numerous contacts with him. Most every time I go there, I see him. He lives directly next door, and his statement to me just about every time is, I'll go out to Home Depot and get it tomorrow and have it up. Well, we're still not there.
There are people living in this complex, maybe?
Correct. There's people living in the complex right now.
Mr. Chairman, I think the request would be for that to be effective May 20th.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sorry.
Was it actually May 20th or May 22nd?
No, it would have been the...
Well, it was 10 days after the meeting.
10 days after the meeting, so yes.
Based on information and testimony that was provided by the inspector and information which is recorded in the record, Chair would entertain a motion fining the respondent, was it $100 per day?
Yes.
$100 per day, effective 5/20/2012, or until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Or with a maximum amount of $20,000?
Yes, I believe that's.
Okay.
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Bourne. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Can I ask a question just out of curiosity?
Sure.
The smoke detectors that are battery operated, mm-hmm. are they still up there? And are they in all units?
They are in all, but one of the units did not have one. He has the incorrect smoke detector in that one. He had bought a carbon monoxide detector and put in that one. So he has the wrong one in that one. And the other ones, he does have some battery-operated ones. But being that this is a rented tenant space of an apartment, one of the times I went back on, I can't remember if it was 611 or 528, one of the tenants had already taken the battery out of the smoke detector. So, and why that's not necessarily his fault that they took it out, or assuming they took it out, there was a smoke detector without a battery. Regardless,
is there immediate safety issue right now?
With that specific one, yes. But more importantly, they're not put as the way they're supposed to be. They're supposed to be hardwired. The owner was notified numerous occasions, and I know I've been there more than these three specific occasions to drop by, but these are the three I noted as my inspection dates.
Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Case number 6 is CEB 051247, Riverview West Apartments LLC. The property is located at 1370 South Pemmata Avenue.
Case number is 0512-47, City of Daytona Beach against Riverview West Apartments LLC. This property is at 1370 South Palmetto Avenue. The city is looking for the imposition of a fine on this because the fire alarm system is still, from what was explained to me, they did have the inspection, but I have not seen any paperwork in the communication with the new maintenance guy. I'm assuming he's still the maintenance guy. The only person that I have won't get back with me, so I don't know if there's problems with that system or not. I did see a sticker saying that somebody was there, but that doesn't tell me that there's not problems on the system. For a little background information, anytime somebody inspects a fire alarm system on any building, they're required by law to put a sticker on it to show that they were there and that they were the last place that inspected it. However, that does not make it, that does not say that everything is 100% and that it is correct and up to the code and the way it's supposed to. That just shows that somebody was there, and they have to provide the local authority having jurisdiction or the AHA with the paperwork showing that either everything's in compliance or everything is not. I have spoken with I haven't spoken with him but one time since the last meeting. On the other two occasions, I've left messages and said I need the paperwork. I've given my fax number, and I've also given my email address. He did get my card when I did meet him on site, so he has my information, but I can't assess whether that system is 100% or not. So we're taking the stance until I get the paperwork that shows that it is or it isn't corrected, or it is like it's supposed to be, that we need to move in and visit with the imposition of a fine.
David, did you also maybe mail a letter or something to the respondent? I know that you said you tried to call.
We did the initial mailing for the last hearing, and then for back
since this last inspection, I assume, with the sticker.
No, I have not done a mailing to him asking him for that information. I have not done a mailing of that, no, sir.
Okay.
Are there specific companies that go in and inspect these alarm systems that are licensed? And
you have to be licensed by the state.
So you saw the sticker. Do you know what company it was that did that? They are, okay, let me ask you another question. They are required to send, that company then is required to send you a report or not?
The companies by state statute are required us to send us a report, but this is an ongoing battle since the turn of the recession that many of these companies have, when they've reduced staff, they've reduced the staff inside the administrative assistants and individuals that would send us that information in the past, to keep people that are the technicians that are doing the work that are generating the revenue. So in our industry across the state, and I would say across the nation, this is something that we're finding. We're not getting what we're supposed to, and we're battling that right now of how we're trying to get all the information that we're required. So, yes, they're required by state statute to send us the information, but very often we're not getting the information. I can speak for a few companies that reside here or that work here within the city of Daytona Beach that we have relations to. I get stuff every single day, but there's a lot of companies that we do not get what we're supposed to.
And do they give that information? If you're not getting it, is that information then, do you assume, you can't assume anything really, that they are giving it to the person, the building they inspected, the owner of the building?
They're required to give it to them, and again, assuming, and I'm under the assumption that they're giving it to them, right. But anytime I go for a re-inspection, if that information is not there, or even on an initial inspection, I will typically cite them for not having it if I'm unaware if they don't have it, and then when they present it to me, then we go off the deficiencies that are listed if there are any. So yes, they are required to send it to them, but whether he or she, well, he in this case, got it, I don't know. But I don't really think it's my point to go around to call these, if I called all the sprinkler,
no,
alarm, extinguisher contractors to say,
are.
Hey,
so
could you send me, you know, could you send me, I mean, every once in a while, for an example, if I were to be sitting in the audience today and all of a sudden I got an email, which is a lot of times we'll get an email of that report from that specific contractor. I could respond back to him and say, this one doesn't do that. But if it were, I'd say, hey, could you send me the report for 1370 South Palmetto? But
what's your recommendation, David?
I don't really have another other than to find them, because I don't know. And with no contact, I don't know if there's – I just don't know. The actual time frame of us actually – in this entire process, since the beginning, since the first day of notification in January, I did not have any correspondence. Nobody corresponded back until right before the last meeting, right before the last meeting, I met the gentleman that is the new maintenance guy.
Okay.
But as far as the owners, I've had other violations at this property in the past, and I have never spoken to the owners in any of the other instances where I've had violations on this property.
You said that you...
I'm sorry?
It's small van, big van.
I said $100, but if you're looking to go something less. I said $100 a day
initially.
That's
what I was asking, right?
I'm sorry. Yeah. I said $100 a day, max of $20,000.
Okay.
I have a procedural question.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they've ever done this before. $100 a day... But if within 30 days the owners can get evidence that they did pass inspection, we would retract that.
I was going to ask for a conditional fine if we could do that.
You can always come back the next meeting and set aside.
Okay. But give the owners 30 days to force whoever inspected it to come forth with the evidence.
Right. So imposition of a fine as of today with the consideration if within the next 30 days that I actually get get that?
My suggestion would be to set a conditional fine effective today, but if they provide verification, then we would do away with the fine.
Right, right. That's kind of, I think that's what I was getting at.
See, I think in good faith that our inspectors historically have them, and Mr. Newman do the same, that if he's notified that they actually had the inspection, that he'll bring it back and set aside the government.
Okay.
Yeah,
I think that's appropriate for us to do an out money. I think historically they have some work to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if the proof of that everything was done ahead of time and correct and was corrected and the paperwork was not provided, I've got no problem, you know, just getting away with it and being done with it. But
Okay, based on testimony that was provided by the inspector and information that's recorded in the record, Chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $100 per day effective today, June 14, 2012, with a maximum amount of $20,000.
So moved.
We have a motion by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Second by Mr. Borns. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign.
Chair.
For the record, Mr. Harrington has stepped away.
Just as a notice, too, I will send a registered notice. I'm sorry? Okay. All right. Okay. Well, that's fine. All right. I was going to say I'd send a registered letter tomorrow again to them just so we have more documentation coming back to ensure that they knew. But if Amy's already going to send it, then we're good.
Okay. Thanks, David. I think that's your last one.
Yes. Thank you very much for your time.
Case number 7 is CEB 031219, Freddie L. and Betty J. Peterson. Property is located at 543 Live Oak Avenue.
You all right?
Go ahead, Eddie.
Mr. Chair, this was brought last month on a hearing, and there was a fine imposed, but I guess we have to make adjustments on that, Amy?
From what I understand, a fine was imposed for failing to remove trash and debris at the April 12th meeting. And then May 2nd, they were supposed to have a contractor. And so, from what I understand, a fine was imposed last month. So was that a fine for not having a contractor? And then this month, they're supposed to be in compliance by June 6th.
Are they in compliance at all?
No.
That doesn't make any difference. We issued a fine last month, effective May 10th.
Mm-mm. I think Amy's question is, were we fining them for not getting a contractor, or if it's for the violation?
Each time, it can be brought back for consideration of a fine for each separate part of the order with full compliance required by June 6th. So that's why it's here.
And I was trying to...
or let it go, or...
Did they hire
compliance at the present time?
Nothing is in compliance. No permits. No work has been done.
We can either leave it where it was, or we can amend it and do a new one.
I think if we amend and just impose a fine effective today, that clarifies everything, takes care of it all.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Tony.
Well,
was trying to remember that.
Yeah, and I was looking through the minutes, and I don't see anything.
I see in the minutes.
Yeah.
The issue was that the original order of noncompliance established an ultimate compliance date of June 14th. June 6th. And I guess subsequent to that, well, we had these interim reviews where we left ourselves with the ability to sanction and re-sanction in these interim meetings. And I think at the last meetings when it was sanctioned, it wasn't really clear in the way that it was worded whether or not the ultimate order was still in place, the presumption is it was, but finally it was real clear.
Okay.
But we can solve that problem by just amending the career findings to make it effective at such a non-compliance.
That's fine. Do you have a recommendation, Eddie?
Same as last month, I believe it was $100 a day.
One of the things, the only concern I have with that, it's not really a concern, the easy clear up is just to announce a fine right now on ultimate.
Right, right.
What that does, though, is erase everything that happened before, unless we put time periods of imposing other stuff.
No, what I was going to do is just amend and just make the, like you say, Tony, make the fine effective today. And just do away with everything else.
Did you record the other fine already?
No, I held it because of...
We're fine. Yeah. Mr. Sino Sam would be requesting that we send the prior...
Set aside the prior
orders and whatever order is imposed to be an open order.
The one prior order, not the first.
Well, there's another order.
So the order imposing a fine.
There's two fine orders, right? Yes. There's one in May.
Right. So the set aside the order imposing fine at the May 10th hearing.
And then we'll ultimate for this. Or at least that's what we're requesting. Ultimate fine for you.
Yes.
Based on information and testimony that's provided by the inspector and information that's recorded in the record, Chair would entertain a motion setting aside any previous fines that were...
Setting aside the May 10th order.
And imposing a fine of $100 per day effective today, June 14, 2012, or until compliance is achieved, or with a maximum of... How much, Eddie? Was it $15,000?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
With a maximum amount of $15,000. So such a motion. Motion by Mr. Smart.
Second.
Second by Mr. Borns. Other questions or comments by members of the board?
No.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. So we just set aside the previous order. Okay.
Dickerson.
Case number 8, CEB 031220, Ruby W. Glover and Ronald Helgamo, is in compliance as of May 22, 2012. Case number 9, CEB 031221, J.H. and Mary J. Dickerson. Property is located at 537 South Martin Luther King Boulevard.
I believe this is the same situation we have with number 7 as well.
Okay.
The same thing.
Be number 9 and 10, the same situation.
Should we do them individually or group them?
The same kind of.
Well, I'll just do them individually. Yeah. Chair would entertain a motion setting aside our previous order, which was established on May 10, 2012, and imposing a fine of $100 per day effective today, June 14, 2012.
It's still non-compliance.
Okay. No permits.
Okay. With a maximum amount of $15,000. Or until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Second by, I mean, motion by Mr. Harrington, second by Mr. Barnes. Are there questions or comments by members of the board?
No.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign.
Does that apply to number 10 as well? Or is that
yes. Something? Yes. Case number 10 is CEB 031222 J.H. and Mary J. Dickerson. Property is located at 537 Martin Luther King Boulevard. Chair would entertain a motion fining the respondent $100 per day effective today, June 14, 2012. And setting aside our previous order, which was established on May 10, 2012, with a maximum amount of fine up to $15,000.
Right. So
$100 per day until the compliance is achieved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Smart. Second by Mr. Barnes. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. We have disposed of case number 11. Case number 12 is CEB 051238, Greg E. Allen. The property is in compliance as of May 22, 2012. Case number 13 has been disposed of. Case number 14 is CEB 051252. I believe that's Andreas Valentin. Property is located at 1165 Brian Marr Drive. We're here for consideration and imposition of a fine.
Good morning. My name is John Stinson. I'm code enforcement inspector employed with the city. My qualifications are on file. This is case number CEB 051252, Andreas Valen versus the City of Daytona Beach. Property address is 1165 Bryn Mawr. Parcel ID is 52381509050. The violation is that we're here for the imposition of a fine for broken windows, interior surfaces, and plumbing fixtures. The property is currently secured. It's vacant. The city is asking for $50 a day to be capped at $10,000.
Okay. Based on testimony that was provided by the inspector and information that's recorded in the record, Chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $50 per day, effective today, June 14, 2012. With a maximum amount of $10,000, was it, John?
Yes.
Okay. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Motion by Mr. Barnes, second by Mr. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Case number 15 is CEB 051253, which is in compliance as of June 6, 2012. Case number 16 is CEB 051254, Hazel S. Sparrow. Property is located at 736 Iowa Street. We're here for imposition of a fine.
My name is John Stinson, code enforcement inspector employed with the city. Qualifications are on file. This is case number CEB 051254. City of Daytona Beach versus Hazel S. Barrow. Property address 736 Iowa Street. We're here for the imposition of a fine of outside storage, dilapidated fencing, the lack of identification numbers, and exterior surfaces. All these conditions still exist. The city is asking for $50 a day to be capped at $15,000.
Based on information and testimonies provided by the inspector and information that's recorded in the record, Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent noncompliance and imposing a fine of $50 per day effective today, June 14, 2012, or until compliance is achieved with a maximum amount of, was it $15,000, John?
$15,000.
Well, the maximum amount of $15,000. So I'll such move. A motion. Motion by Mrs. Smart.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Kundick. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Case number 17 is CEB 0512555, Karen and Kirk Granville Joint Trust. Property is located at 957 Redwood Street, and that case is in compliance as of June 6, 2012. Case number 18 is CEB 0512256, Doris J. Mayhew Estate. Property is located at 575 White Street. We're here for imposition of a fine.
Yes. My name is John Stinson, Code Enforcement Inspector, employee with the city. Applications are on file. Case number CEB 0512256, City of Daytona Beach versus Mayhew Doris J. Estate. Property address 575 White Street. Parcel ID is 52381520011. And we're here for the imposition of a fine for dilapidated roof and dilapidated fencing. As we discussed last hearing, Ms. Mayhew is deceased. I was unable to reach a attorney ad litem. And there's been no change in the property. City is asking for $50 a day to be kept at.
Based on information that's recorded in the record and testimony that was provided by the inspector, Chair would entertain a motion imposing a fine of $50 per day, effective today, June 14th, 2012, with a maximum amount of $10,000. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'd just like to ask, what kind of contact did you make? Is the estate in probate?
I've had no contact with anyone. I've had to post the property for the notice violation and a notice of hearing. I have no information about a probate.
You checked or with the public records, there's no probate file?
That's correct, sir. I have checked. I'm sorry?
Say you mentioned an attorney at
litem. It was suggested last the last hearing that there may be an attorney at litem appointed for the estate.
John, does it appear as though there's been any movement or maybe someone's coming and going at the property at all?
Outside the disappearance of the postings,
yeah,
there's no other activity.
And that could be the wind or kids.
It could
or
be. Anybody. It could be.
Okay. Just wondering maybe if you saw the blinds may have been changed or lights.
No.
Maybe on one time you go out there and not another.
No.
Something like
just
that.
That fence is just... It moves.
Is there enough grass anywhere to see if the grass is overgrown?
Actually, no, there's not. There's more gravel than grass.
I'm just concerned about notification.
I agree, but, I mean, I've exhausted all my resources on that.
And I think she has been deceased at least 3 years or more, maybe.
That's quite possible.
And I wouldn't be aware of any relatives. I knew her, but I didn't know her that well. I don't know if there are any relatives that are coming by to maintain the property or not. I don't know.
Property is not occupied?
No, sir.
Are there any additional? Well, we need a second.
Second.
We have a second by Mr. Harrington. Other questions or comments by members of the board?
Again, here. I'm just concerned about a legal notification.
Don't always stop.
Where would we send the imposition of a fine?
The address on record.
Right. And that's where all the other notices have gone to. So.
Well, I mean, we. By statute and by code ordinance, we're sending the last name on the tax roll.
Mm-hmm.
However, if we get information that will due diligence efforts, if we can obtain other information, we'll send it wherever that information is coming. We just don't have anything more than that at this point. And it's not a provision for publication necessarily with this stage of proceeding. So we don't publish like we would, you know, the notice of action. We don't do that at this point. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we were to seek to take it subsequently, we would go and publish as well. And that's important. At this point, it's an encumbrance, and someone will pop up at this someday if the encumbrance affects them.
Are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Yes, Mr. Smart was second. Was it? Who had the second?
Okay.
It was Mr. Harrington, right. Okay. Sorry about that, Amy. Did you have any more, John?
No, I believe that's it for me.
Danny, let me, and had I realized you only had one case, I would have taken you a long time ago. Case number 19 is CEB 061257, St. John's Revocable Trust, Living Trust. It's located at 211 Lexington Drive.
My name is Officer Garcia. I am employed by the City of Daytona Beach as a code enforcement officer, and my credentials are on file with the city. This is case number CEB 061257, City of Daytona Beach versus St. John's Recoverable Living Trust. Property address 211 Livingston Lexington Drive. Parcel ID number is 38153300600090. And the violation is not having an occupation license for renting. Notice was sent out and came back unsigned. Posting was issued. Right now it's just non-compliance and next cutoff. I did hear from him. I had contact with him for a while. He has other properties that I'd cited. He's working on all the properties, and then everything just stopped. So...
Is someone living there now?
Yes. There are vehicles. There were this one, and then there was two other ones recently that I seen. So there is someone. And originally I cited him for no occupation license and rotten wood all in the front, which is right there. But then he corrected that part. He just never got the OC license. On Lexington, there are other properties that I had cited him for the same thing. And for some reason he has... there was a clarification because he may have like one OC license for one property and then he has attached to these other ones. So when you look up the one other property, it doesn't show that it has one. So I had to get that cleared from downstairs. But this one didn't say it had that attachment on it.
Okay. Based on information that's provided and testimony that's provided by the inspector and information that's recorded in the record, chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance and allowing the respondent until July 3rd, 2012 to bring the property into compliance, be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of the a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Borns, second by Mr. Smart. Are there questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Again, I'm sorry about that, Danny.
That's okay. Thank you.
I didn't realize.
Have a nice day.
Case number 20, 21, and 22 have been disposed of. Case number 23 is CEB 061261, Land Trust 554 Cedar, care of Trustee LLC. Property is located at 554 Cedar Street.
Morning, Eddie Lopez. Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Officer. Case number CE 20121175, City of Daytona Beach versus Trust LLC, Trust Land, 554 Cedar. Property address is 554 Cedar Street within Daytona Beach City Limits. Parcel ID number is 3915-3346-050101. Violation is 1.3C, dorm living. And 4.3C, Land Development Code, Article 1, non-conforming use. This property doesn't have an occupational license. It was brought again to the board. The property was vacant, so she didn't need a license. Then she rented it again, and it was on and off like this for quite a while. Now I made contact with her, and I spoke to her over the phone and via email. She states that she's trying to sell the property. The property is occupied currently. I spoke to her as recently as last week on the 6th. She stated that she was going to get a certified letter notarized that she's selling the property to a potential buyer. I have not received or seen any of those documents. City's requesting 10 days to obtain an occupational license due to the fact that the property is currently with tenants, and obtain a license with the City of Daytona Beach within 10 days.
What about the non-conforming use, Eddie?
Also, the non-conforming use, if you go back towards the rear of the property, towards the rear, that's the front. Yes, that's the side. This property, it has a like an apartment studio, per se, towards the rear of the property. It is vacant. At one time, there was someone rented there. It's not. It is vacant, but there's no permits or anything of that nature to stress that that was allowed. It's a single-family residence.
So basically, at this point, we're only here for consideration of the no tax receipt?
Yes.
No tax receipt. Okay. Based on testimony that is provided by the inspector and information that's recorded in the record, Chair would entertain a motion finding the respondent in noncompliance. And based on the recommendation by the inspector, allowing the respondent until June 24th, 2012, to bring the property into compliance, will be returned to the board for consideration of a one-time administrative fee of $250. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Smart, second by Mr. Borens. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign.
Yeah. What about the dorm?
The license.
I should have brought that up.
Way in there.
And she, they basically need to resolve the issue with the non-conforming use. There's no permits on the rear part of the property, the extension of the property.
What about the dorm living? Are we including?
There's only one family there.
Oh, so that's been
corrected. That's been corrected.
Okay.
But
all right.
There is a tenant.
$250, so do we need to include the $1,000 for the non-conforming use violation also?
We should.
Okay.
That wasn't a problem.
Who had the motion? I think Mr. Smart was the second.
Mr.
Did you have the motion, Mr. Barnes? Would you consider, was it the opposite? Would you consider amending your order?
Yes.
To include that it'll be returned for consideration of a fine with the $1,000 per day.
So the $1,250 plus the $1,000.
Right, for non-conforming
also.
Use.
$250 also.
Yeah, and Mr. Borens?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Are there additional comments or questions?
Yeah, the $1,000 a day is
what?
For
non-conforming use.
I thought that since there's nobody in there, it's not a non-conforming use anymore.
That's why I left it out on my motion of the
original
request for a motion. Yeah.
It is conforming use now, right?
There's no one there.
It's a non-conforming use. It's it's an apartment, a studio, if you will, in the back. There's no permits or anything.
Convert it back to a single-family unit.
Yeah.
And there's no one occupying it, so.
Yeah.
But
if they get the occupational license and they write off on it, that is fine, then then it's fine. But as of now, it's not conforming use because there's no permits on the extension that was built at some point in time. There is a kitchen. There's it's like a studio, if you will, where it could be a refrigerator and a stove.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Are there additional questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Okay. Case number 24 is CEB 061262, Adele Demetrius. Property is located at 325 West International Speedway Boulevard. We're here to determine compliance and non-compliance.
The property is in compliance, 612.
Excuse me. Case number 26 is CEB 061264. Is that Joha Christian?
Property.
25.
Did I miss one? Did I miss them?
25.
No. Case number 25 is CEB 061264, Joha Christian. Property is located at 549 Park Drive. We're here to determine compliance, non-compliance.
Yes, non-compliance. Eddie Lopez, Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Officer. Case number CE 20120859, City of Daytona Beach versus Johann Christian. Property address is 559 Park Avenue within Daytona City Limits. Parcel ID number is 39153345000063. Our violation is 304.6 exterior walls. This property is vacant. Exterior wall damage towards the front and side of the property. I was able to speak with the property owner. He did pick up the trash and debris that's on the side there, and I asked him to repair the front of the property. He was informing me he was going to renovate the property. He still hasn't done so. City's requesting the exterior of the walls will be repaired within 10 days.
Based on information and testimony that's provided by the inspector and information that's recorded in the record, chair would entertain a motion allowing or requiring the respondent, finding the respondent in noncompliance and requiring the respondent to bring the property into compliance by July 24th. 2012?
June. June. Excuse me. 10 days.
Let me start over. Based on information that was provided by the inspector and information that's recorded in the record, chair will entertain a motion finding respondent noncompliance and requiring respondent bring the property into compliance by June 24, 2012, will be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion by Mrs. Kundick, second by Mr. Borns. Other questions or comments by members of the board? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. I think that will do it.
Good job.
Thank you. Is there any miscellaneous business?
Yeah, I need to take a step back for a moment on number 19 and clarify something I said. That was one with Doris J. Mayhew estate.
Yes.
And I told Mr. Barnes that there wasn't a provision for publication, and that was not correct. There actually is a provision for publication. We never use it. We do posting. But it does say posting or publication. So, I mean, if the board ever saw the need or desire to tell the cars to go and publish, we can do that, but I would think it would be much more effective when we have the concern of going forward on taking an action on a fine such as a foreclosure than on the encumbrance and stuff. My purpose.
I think if you go ahead and do the certified mail and then post the property, in those two things, you're pretty good shape. Yeah. You don't have to do both, but if you did both, I think that would make it,
Thank you.
Yeah. Nail it down.
Yeah.
Okay. So any additional miscellaneous business by any member of the board or city staff?
I'll just make a comment.
Sure.
That I don't understand. I know the one, the Mayhew one, possibly it's the estate. But the two others that John Stinson handled, I don't understand why people, they're getting fined $50 a day now. Why they don't do these things.
That's not unusual. It's worse now than it's ever been. You know, back when they had the boom, everybody did everything. Yeah, it was good.
Ms. Kundick, do you have anything?
No, thank you.
Mr. Borns?
Okay.
Mr. Smart?
No.
Mr. Harrington? Mr. Sino? No. Ms. Hampton? Mr. Jackson?
Thank you.
I'm not sure. He's out.
Yeah. Who's Steve?
I don't have anything. Guess we're adjourned.
Take care.
Thank you. You too.